We are continuing our series entitled Unshakable Hope and looking at what it is to be anchored in the promises of God, which is really something that all of us as believers, we should be well versed in. And that's because there is beauty behind the truth that even though we experience pain, that we go through trials, and that we suffer as a people of God, it's all not in vain. But in a way, God uses it to expose and to teach us and prove to us that we have hope. That we have hope that is founded, it's anchored in the promises of God. And we've been reminded through this series that what that means is the promises of God that are yes and amen are in Christ Jesus. These promises are not based upon my performance. These promises are not based off your track record or on our faithfulness, but instead it's upon the faithfulness of our God. And though it might take us well over a year to really dig in and look at every single promise that the scriptures that are in the scriptures, tonight we're just going to focus on this promise of comfort, this most important promise of comfort that God gives us as his people. We see this promise throughout scriptures, but we're going to just kind of start here with the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians as a reference point to go from there in our time that we have tonight. Although we could probably fill an entire week's conference worth of information on this topic of comfort, we're gonna read through this and then we're going to pray that the Lord just uses that to really stir our hearts this evening. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul writes, "All praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. And then you can patiently endure the same things that we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives us." So excited to kind of dig into this topic of comfort. But as I kind of started to think through this, there was something I really wanted to share and address really on the issue of comfort that relates to our culture today. Because to me, it really seems like there is this this push, you know, with all the energy and the creativity that we possess as man, there seems to be like this hyper-like focus to remove anything and everything that would make us uncomfortable. I mean, do you get that sense that, even in the realm of patience itself, it seems that we are heaven-bent on making sure that we don't have to wait for anything, ever. And one scenario that kind of helps me kind of see this more clearly is really just looking at the world through the lens of my children and this comfort culture that they are being exposed to, that they are being raised up in. And I kind of look at them. My oldest son is 13 and my younger son is 7. And I remember when I was their age, every summer, my family would kind of climb into the green wood-paneled station wagon that my parents owned, and we'd drive 5 to 6 hours up north to the Sequoia Mountains, where there was a boys' camp that my grandmother was a cook at. She used to work there every summer, worked there for over 40 years, and used to ride pack mules up the mountains before there were roads. So we had this history with this camp, and so we would drive 5 or 6 hours up the road, and you know what me and my brother did for those 5 to 6 hours on that road trip? We looked out the window, and we played I Spy or Slug Bug, and we colored in our books, and we hounded my dad with that notorious question, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? We knew we weren't there yet, but that's what kids do. And after threats of pulling over, we would go back to looking out the window up until we got to the camp, and we turned out just fine. Now, I contrast that with my boys, where every summer, my family and I, we go up only 2 hours up to the Twin Peaks Conference Center up near Lake Arrowhead for family camp. It's one of the my favorite things that we do every summer as a family. I love it. And you know what my boys do? Well, they got their books, they have their iPods, they got their games, their video games. We even have a DVD player that plays movies. And of course they ask, are we there yet? Because that's what kids do. But my boys, they have the nerve to tell me and my wife, Rachel, that they are bored. They have the nerve to tell me with all the stuff back there that they are bored. And then I turn into my dad and I turn around and say, man, you know what I did for 5 or 6 hours? I looked out the window. You got all this stuff back there. Are you kidding me? Like, spare me your whining. I'll show you boredom. And I, you know, shut the DVD player. You know, you want to push it, I'll put on one of my sermons. Because, you know, the website, you can stream these sermons later. Just a plug for that. But you know, it seems like with each generation, in terms of comfort, we're just getting worse and worse and worse. Because the more we make things easier and the more we make things faster, the less and less patient we become. And things are faster than they've ever been. You want info or an answer to something? You just instantly look it up. Want movies? Want to listen to your favorite music? You just stream it. Even need doctor's advice or even get a medication sent to your house. I mean, it's all right there within seconds. And when it's not, well, I mean, this is a safe space here, right? How many of you have been upset and frustrated with your device or your computer because it didn't load in 20 seconds? Anybody? Okay, it's not just me. And it's a setback to our advancement in technology. We love it. We appreciate it. But it's making us less and less patient. Less and less able to deal with anything that might make us uncomfortable. I mean, even at Disneyland, you don't like waiting in lines for a roller coaster. You know, you get the fast pass. If that's not good enough for you, you can, you know, pay a couple dollars and upgrade and get the max pass. You can walk past all those sweaty people that are glaring at you as you, you know, hop on that ride. Everything is getting faster, easier, more and more comfortable, but it leaves us frustrated and wanting. We find ourselves lacking in patience in a day and age where everything is built for ease and speed and comfort. And the reason I bring this up and make such that point is because this is skewing a God-allowed experience in our lives that has a greater purpose than our mere comfort. This is skewing a God-allowed. God allows things in our lives that has greater purpose than just making us comfortable. But all that is not to say that there is no need for comfort, because despite of all of this effort in our day and age to remove the uncomfortable, to remove the pain and the waiting, the reality is we need to be comforted. We need to be comforted. And no advancement in technology will ever remove the painful moments that exist in our lives. The suffering that surrounds an illness or a disease that strikes. The pain, sometimes the crushing pain that can overwhelm us with a loss of loved ones. The turmoil that revolves around relationships that don't work out, and the hardships that come with broken relationships, or even the mental and emotional strains that really we all can come under from either just normal stress or even abuse. All these and more are challenges that come from us being vulnerable and frail. and it exposes our need for comfort. And so tonight, as we look at God's word, we're going to take some time to consider three aspects of this promise of comfort that God gives us. And first, we're gonna talk about his promise of comfort. The second, we're going to talk about his presence, the aspect of his presence in the promise of his comfort. And then thirdly, we're going to look at his purpose in it all. And so the first aspect, if you're taking notes, is his promise. Now back there in 2 Corinthians, after his greeting, Paul quickly recognizes that it's God, our merciful Father, or in some translations, our compassionate Father, who is the source of all comfort, which is in harmony with really the rest of Scripture. From the story of Job, the man who endured great pain and suffering, to the psalmist, even David, who thanked and praised God for his comfort that he provided. Throughout the Old Testament, the prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, in the Old Testament, the promises of God are seen there and repeated throughout the Scriptures, which even coincides with the words of Christ himself. Not only did he say that those who mourn would be comforted, but Jesus promised that this comfort would also come in the form of himself, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom he would send to us to be with us always. The writers of the New Testament would also reiterate this truth of God's provision of peace and comfort and joy in the midst of our trials. But there's something there that I want us to pay attention to, because behind the letter of God's promise, even the one that we read here in 2 Corinthians, behind the letter, we see this beautiful picture, really, of the heart of God. And that is, as Paul writes about this comfort, we see him reference God as a father, a merciful father. Paul says, just like the psalmist would write, that God is a father to his children. He's tender and compassionate to those who fear him, for he knows how weak we are. He knows how weak we are and remembers that we are only but dust. And that's really the heart of his promise of comfort. That's the heart. The letter, it says there, hey, God's going to comfort you when you need. But the heart is like the heart of a father that desires to comfort us, because this promise isn't like car insurance. Hey, it's there just in case you need it. You know, if something happens, okay, it's there. You're covered with God's comfort. No, it's more than that. You know, I think of when we raise our children, we're raising them up not only to learn the difference between right or wrong, but we're also protecting them from things that they know nothing about. Whether if it's running in the street or touching a hot oven, they don't know the dangers that exist. And so we're there to protect them. And although that they don't understand, and even sometimes get frustrated when we're trying to protect them, hey, we do that with grace, don't we? We understand their frailty, their vulnerability to those things. And so we protect them with the heart of a parent, tender and compassionate. You know, oftentimes our frailties arise in the midst of suffering, doesn't it? Whether if it's mentally, emotionally, sometimes even physically. And the most common reactions in a painful situations, man, they sometimes send us searching for answers to questions like, why? Why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? What are you doing, Lord? And I'm sure we've all asked those questions before. I'm sure that really it's the Lord that wants us to understand that God's promise of comfort, although it doesn't include answers to our questions or even shield us from the challenge and the pain and the suffering in the first place, listen, it is met with compassion from the heart of our Father in heaven, the source of all comfort. He knows us. He knows our frailty. He knows your weakness. He knows my weakness. But I know that it is common in our weakness. We think that these answers that we have to why will bring us comfort. If only I knew why this was happening. But that's just not true. I remember when I was younger, I had a roommate. I was living with a friend who had lost a new bride to cancer. And he was crushed by that experience. And as he shared with me, through that experience, through that process of healing, there was one thing that he described as getting stuck. There was a point where he was just getting stuck with those questions. Why, God? Why did this happen? Why did you allow this to happen, this bad thing to happen? And he mentioned the longer he spent dwelling on those questions that had no answers, something happened. He started to grow bitter. He started to grow bitter, and it began to affect him and become kind of the lens that he looked through life at. It affected the way that he saw God. It affected the way that he looked at other people and relationships, even when he thought about his future. And he was stuck. And you know, it's so easy for us to slip into that same trap of getting stuck. Stuck in bitterness. Trapped in despair. Stuck in discouragement. Sometimes because of those questions that do not have answers. But friends, this is the place of hopelessness. And this is where God, he seeks to rescue us from. God's promise of comfort, it doesn't come with answers to our questions. And that is hard. We want the suffering to end. We grow tired and weary, and we want our loved ones back. We want to hold those whom we lost. And these are very real and powerful feelings. Sometimes the biggest hurdle that we face in our healing. But listen, our compassionate Father, he knows us. He knows our weakness. And listen, even if he were to come to us, even if God were to come to us as finite beings and attempt to give us those answers, to lay out his explanation, show us, you know, that long view and try to explain his ultimate and divine plan, well, not only would we probably not even comprehend it, but listen, it still wouldn't be enough, would it? Again, we want the pain to end. We want our loved ones back and those answers, even as true and right and divine as they would be, they wouldn't help. They wouldn't remove our pain. No, the promise of comfort that God provides, it's far greater than an answer to any question. It's far greater to why. That's because it centers around a who. God's promise of comfort, it centers around him. It centers around his presence. That's the second thing I want us to consider tonight, his presence in all of this. Now, I know there is much that I have to learn when it comes to experiencing pain and suffering and receiving God's comfort in a way that many of you have experienced through your personal seasons and moments of suffering. I struggle even myself, you know, thinking about that concept of counting it joy. You know, through some of those moments, those painful moments that I've experienced with some of you as joy. But listen, there is one thing I do know. I believe in God's word. I believe in God's word and his promise of presence in the midst of our pain and our trouble. And I read in his word there in Isaiah 43 where God declares, hey, you are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God. I believe that. And I read in Psalm 23 where the psalmist writes, "Even when I walk through the darkest valleys, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me." Man, I read these things and many others, and I hold them close. Lord, I know you are with me. I believe it to be true. Because a common pitfall is to kind of look over those things when we get focused on our pain. We get focused on those questions, or even we get self-focused is really a lot of times what happens. If it's not those other things that consume us, man, we feel, we have this overwhelming feeling that we are all alone in this. That nobody else has experienced this before, and I'm all alone in this. Nobody feels the way that I do. And sometimes this leads us to keep everyone away, everyone at a distance, including God. And I'm not saying that those moments of solitude are bad. Those times of private mourning sometimes are needed and necessary and so healthy for the heart. But listen, in those painful moments, if we allow God, if we allow him to enter into our pain, if we can allow him, bring him in, and this is a work of faith that we've been created and prepared and equipped for, if we allow God to come into those moments, this, friends, is what the Bible talks about, God manifesting himself in a whole new way. And think of that story of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and as they sought to have Jesus come to help them in their time of need, and he didn't show up. And Lazarus passed away. Jesus' words were that he knew that something great was going to come from this. It was going to highlight the glory of God. And he wanted to manifest himself to them, his close friends, in a whole new way. They didn't understand it. It was very hard, and even Jesus wept with them as they experienced their pain, but it was for a great, great purpose. This is God's usual pursuit with most things in our lives and many seasons, how he wants to manifest himself in a whole new way, teach us all the more of who he really is through the various things that we experience. Because really, truth be told, we all have somewhat of a skewed reality of who God is in this moment. We all have some misunderstandings when it comes to God. His greatness is unsearchable, the Bible declares. We cannot fully understand him this side of heaven. But listen, even though God can never be fully understood, he can be known truly. He can be known personally and sufficiently, and seeks to reveal himself, to reveal his beauty to each and every one of us through even these moments, these painful moments that we endure. And another thing I was thinking, you know, we sing these songs of how good and great our God is, how compassionate and loving he is. This God of mercy, God of grace, our God of comfort. Yet how will we ever truly know him by these beautiful characteristics unless he has the opportunity to show us in these moments that we need comfort, to reveal himself as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And this is why Job, even after Job had suffered and endured, he said, "Up until now, I have only heard of you. But now I see you with my own eyes." And this is what God wants to do. He wants to reveal himself, manifest himself, even through those hard, painful moments in our lives, so that we know him all the more to be a God of grace, mercy, comfort, and love. In these moments where an answer wouldn't be good enough, man, we see him. We have him near. And it's his presence in those moments that is sufficient. And by the grace of God, we too can sing, Father, your loving kindness is better than life. Better than life. Another element of his presence we find in the lives and the stories throughout the scriptures. And I've said before at different times that if the pages of our Bible, as I believe, are filled with people much like ourselves, well, then we could find this assurance in the fact that we're not alone in these moments of pain. We're not alone in our great need of comfort. Others have suffered. Others have struggled. Others have lost much. I think of Moses, Abraham, and Sarah. I think of Hagar and Ishmael. I think of the story of Hannah and her just weeping there in the temple. I think of David's story. Or even Bathsheba, that kind of, you know, nobody really thinks about her, how her life was just ripped from her because of that one moment. We are not alone. You know, in the young adults group, we've been going through the Christmas narrative and looking at the story of Mary, the mother of God. I never realized, you know, what a painful life Mary endured. And yet God said, hey, Mary, you are favored by God. You have found favor with God. And we look at her life. Her life was rarely found with moments that I would deem and define as favor. Her life was challenging. And I know that I am not alone. And with those instances of brokenness through the scripture, we can look at those and we can relate. We can understand. And even the most beautiful picture that we ultimately see in scripture is that picture of Christ. When we look at Jesus, the life of Jesus, and it speaks to us in so many ways and how he suffered, how he experienced pain and rejection, and how he needed comfort. That picture of Christ, it speaks to me and it whispers to me, hey, I know what you're experiencing. I know how you feel. I've suffered. I've felt pain. I know what hurt and loss feels like. I've been mentally overwhelmed. I've been tempted. And I felt alone and abandoned, abused and hated. I am with you in your pain. That's what the picture of Jesus says to us. You know, I've heard somebody say after a season of suffering that it was in the midst of their darkest season when they discovered Jesus to be the most beautiful. They discovered that Jesus was more beautiful than they ever had saw him to be. And it was this sweetness that they experienced in their suffering with Christ by their side and seeing him in this whole new way as their Savior who suffered. It was that really rescued them out of the depths of their pain. Seeing him in a whole new way. Paul called this in Philippians the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul said that all things that he had gained, they were worthless in comparison to Christ. Paul said that even in his suffering, it was worth it for the purpose to gain Christ Jesus, that he would know him, know the power of his resurrection, and Paul said the fellowship of his sufferings. And you know what, friends? The Lord's desire is that we would experience the resurrection. But we cannot experience the resurrection without the fellowship of his sufferings. The resurrection of Jesus Christ couldn't have taken place unless he was nailed to that cruel Roman cross and died. And may the Lord continue to help us to bring him into our pain, to exercise our faith even when it's hard. To find the comfort and revelation that is there in his presence. Lastly, I want to just look at the purpose of this comfort. This purpose that we see back there in 2 Corinthians in the text that we read, Paul's writing. I think it's clear to see that initial purpose for us who have received this comfort from God. There in verse 4, Paul notes that it's God who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. And you know what? I know that we live in a world today that is full of pain and hurt. And I really believe that there is a real need for true comfort. It's in great demand. And you know, isn't it so true that these experiences that we go through, these painful experiences, are oftentimes a wake-up call to really see the world around us and the suffering that's going on? You know, we wouldn't know that unless we experienced that portion of suffering or that experience of pain. All of a sudden our eyes are open and now we see it around us. And we see people that are struggling around us with the same things. Sometimes these moments are those wake-up calls. And as many of us have experienced only through adversity, now this ability to now have this new compassion for those people that are suffering around us, that are experiencing painful and hurtful moments. God can take these moments and use them for something good. Our afflictions give us kind of now a platform, maybe even sometimes an authority to come alongside, to share with, encourage, and even speak boldly into someone's life that needs it. I know there were moments in my life when I was just struggling through being overwhelmed and only somebody else that experienced that could come up and kind of tell me in a very real sense, like, hey, snap out of it. You're focused too hard on these situations and you're not focused on the Lord. They're blocking your view of Him. And you know what? Sometimes our affliction, our pain, our experience, it gives us that ability to come alongside, to bring somebody some comfort when they need it. Peter would share this sentiment there in 1 Peter chapter 4, as he said, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And in this promise of comfort through our difficult moments, we are given yet another gift now to share and minister it to one another. We're given this gift now that we can share, this new revelation from the Lord and this new compassion that we have. He doesn't give it to us to hold on to store away somewhere so that we can look back and remember it. He gives it to us for a great purpose, that we can share it, that we can use it for His glory and minister it to one another. And it's a special bridge that is built by experience, isn't it? That only sometimes few can use. It's a special bridge. And I've seen those of us who have endured painful seasons. I've seen people in this body that have lost loved ones, coming alongside families who have recently lost somebody, parents who have lost children, parents who have experienced a prodigal child and going through that season. You know, my own parents were comforted by so many parents when I was wayward and prodigal. And I'm grateful for that. I've seen those who have overcome addiction, helping others who are in it in the moment, struggling in it, or even coming out of it. And whatever you may be suffering and struggling through, the Lord wants to allow you through this experience to be equipped in a special way now to come alongside all of those other people that might be going through it in the moments. And you know what? This outward and others focused opportunity or even responsibility, there is an exercise to combat this self-focused mentality and mindset that can isolate us from being used. It can also leave us a bit too vulnerable from the attacks of the enemy. You know, what God gives us now is something to exercise and use for the benefit of others, but just like the Proverbs say, that when we seek to refresh others, we are refreshed ourselves. So I have two questions I want to ask you. One, I want you to ask yourself, what experiences have you faced in your life that might help you minister it to help somebody else, to help others that are going through it? And then I also want you to ask the Lord, God, bring opportunities where I might be able to comfort others. Great questions that we could ask ourselves and then ask of the Lord to be used in this special way. And when Peter references the God of grace, the term that he used there in 1 Peter 4 was the word manifold, which speaks of multiple forms or elements. In the Greek, actually is translated multicolored. And I think of the multicolored situations that we as a people have gone through and experienced, and it's just this divine grace of God to give now equipping of the church, of the body, to minister to all the various and multicolored situations that we go through, painful moments and experiences. His purpose for our pain, it can range from testing of our faith or changing maybe our perspective in the moment. Sometimes these moments can reveal our passions or our pursuits in our lives, or help to develop or strengthen us as believers, or teach us the benefits of obedience to Him, or the importance of seeking His plan for our lives. As we already mentioned, man, the Lord through our pain can reveal His compassion toward us. And lastly, it establishes this heavenly hope in our hearts that we need to have, this unshakable hope that we've been highlighting through this series. It will ultimately culminate with the hope that we all share in heaven. And until then, we will experience the pain and the suffering that this fallen world brings our way. And with creation, as Paul mentioned in Romans 8, we just groan for the day. We just groan and long to be freed from this bondage of corruption awaiting the coming Messiah. You know, there in Romans 8, right before Paul says that, though, Paul says something there. He says, "But our present sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Paul, speaking of this hope that we share in the coming Christ and the resurrection, says that these are not to be compared with the glory that would be revealed in us. Paul calls our suffering in another section as momentary light affliction, which is but for a moment. But he says it is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And this, my friends, is an anchor for our souls, one that we can hold on to, His promise, His presence, and His purpose through these experiences, through these painful moments that will bring us comfort. And if you are experiencing pain and suffering or that type of a season right now, going through something that's really rough and pressing, maybe a season of mourning, a season of pain, of chronic pain, or just struggling from temptation, know this: God is with you. He knows you. He wants to involve Himself in that moment of your lives to do a great work. And also know this: a new day is coming with new mercy. Peter shared in 1 Peter chapter 5 that after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And I love that. That's His promise, that He wants to involve Himself through these seasons of pain. This doesn't mean that we will not feel pain, that we will not struggle anymore or never have those bad days weeks, maybe months. But it is a part of that promise that God gives us, his comfort. That through the difficulty, through the pain and the sorrow, that he is with us, he's working in us to produce something good. To produce something beautiful and something that's not temporal, but something that's eternal. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your compassion. We thank you for your care. Lord, we thank you for your great love. And although these moments of pain are allowed, Lord, you use them for our good. And we thank you, Lord, that you manifest yourself in these seasons, Lord, revealing much of what is unseen to show us, Lord, who you are. You're so faithful, so true, so tender. And as we remember your sacrifice and think about your scars, Lord, we realize, Lord, you understand. You're here with us in our pain, suffering alongside us and holding us up. And Lord, I pray for our church tonight, especially those in moments and seasons of hurt, Lord, that the reality of this truth, of your presence, is revealed in Jesus' name, and that the comfort of your promise by your grace is received without understanding, Lord, without answers. And even now, Lord, I pray that if there is any barriers that exist, that they would be removed. Lord, we pray for healing for our church. We pray for help, Lord. And we ask for your will to be done, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, now we're just going to enter into a time where we can praise the Lord for this promise of his comfort. And we can cry out to him, maybe if we are experiencing something of what we spoke about tonight. I want to give opportunity for that. We also have men and women on the sides that would love to just come alongside you and pray for you if you are hurting in this moment. Take advantage of that. Don't leave without it. But let's now just enter into the presence of our faithful Father. And just rejoice in this faithful God of these promises that we're reminded of, that we're learning about, and hopefully that we're putting to action through faith. So let's just do that now.